On this episode of Pottages.
Matrix Digievolution.
Guys, what's a Deva?
Hail to the Deva, he who drinks of the light of man.
I'm gonna need your password.
You can use mine to get on the internet.
Pottages.
Welcome to Pottages, episode 304, Enter the Matrix.
Tokyo Devas Part 1.
Adult Suck, Digital Growing Pains, and Glitch in the Matrix.
Recorded November 14th, 2015.
Pottages is your critically nostalgic, analytical tour through the Digimon anime. I'm Ashley McDowell, and I'm joined by Jeffrey Ruberg.
Ba-boom.
Wow.
And Asher Softman.
Hi.
Hi? Really? That's the best you can do?
Isn't it Bada Boom? Didn't you do it wrong?
No. He does say Ba Boom in one of these episodes, just like out of nowhere.
I emphasize it weirdly, saying like Ba Boom, but yeah, he says Ba Boom when he's sad. And it like, the thing is, it worked really well in the episode because it cuts, it like right in a commercial cut. So he's like Ba Boom, but doesn't work so well as an intro. This week, we're looking at episodes 14 through 16.
In episode 14, Growmon Grow, aka The Wonderful Thing About Tiggers. Yamaki is betrayed by his beloved magnet and tries to murder a child. Takato passes out from Digimon fanboy overload, and Growmon enters the Matrix.
In episode 15, Snakes, Trains, and Digimon, aka Snakes on a Train. Although the snake was not on the train.
Tried.
Rika faces off against Kabuki Boredom. Takato and Vingilmon reenact the Fast and the Furious with a shopping cart, and Henry plays phone tag.
In episode 16, Back to Nature, Back to Battle, aka Sindurimon's Electroshocker, Takato and Henry go on a camping trip, and Kaipora Gaibora reminds them to stop procrastinating on their Deva's homework. Those are episodes.
These were some episodes, indeed.
They sure were.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm looking something up.
How dare you?
I am looking up when Google, like, started as a thing.
Okay.
Why? Okay.
Why? Because Tamer started in 2001, and I wanted to know why the kids didn't Google the word Deva.
General discussion.
Thank you, Robotmon.
These episodes were bad.
Yeah.
The animation was bad. The story quality was bad.
They should feel bad. No.
Everybody in this arc should feel bad. What was Henry doing? Asher, explain your favorite characters.
What was Henry doing when?
Yeah, what are you...
In the picnic episode.
The picnic episode?
In the... Picnic? The third one?
Yeah.
You said that a picnic?
What was Henry doing when in that episode?
Yeah, what do you...
All of it.
I mean, a lot of the motivation for that was silly.
When he and Takato had really bad ideas and were like, we're going to go investigate this Digimon by ourselves, which is a really bad idea.
But, like, Henry normally is, like, way more sensible. And then Henry was just like, you know, yeah, we're going to go with it. Like, let's go. We need a vacation.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Henry, where did you come from?
I was not... I mean, I understand his, like, reasoning about the vacation thing. I do not stand by his decision to be like, no, don't fight, you're on vacation. that was poor decision making.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because, like, that could be a... I could see that it being validus. Is there a word for it? The noun
validity?
Form of valid? Validity.
Validity.
Yes. I could see there being some validity to that. Like, it seems very reminiscent of being, you know, having work or homework or whatever and just being like, I'm not going to do work on this vacation. You know, like, lots of things and people saying that is, like, a much more healthy way to live and to recuperate. And that makes a lot of sense. Except when you're in a situation where, like, you know, like, this Digimon... could cause havoc to the town and you just ignore it and I don't know, we're in a situation where, like, well, it's clearly the next Deva, we have seen two of them, this next episode is going to clearly be the third one.
Right. I wrote down in my notes, like, does no one in this show, like, understand patterns?
they are not very good at pattern matching, pattern recognition yet.
No, they are not.
Rika didn't get to fight in this third one. Tragedy.
I was thinking, like, if any of so in addition to not liking the logic of while they're on vacation, I also thought the logic of them requiring a vacation was kind of a stretch because it's like that's what Takato did in the last episode. You know, like he just played,
right.
He and Gilmon just played throughout the other episode, and they're like, oh, you need another vacation, and like you and Gilmon just go play. I'm like, he's gotten plenty of time to play with Gilmon. Like, geez.
But it's like, also like he played with Guillemon and then his two friends were in danger and he was like, we're just shooting snot paper at each other.
Well, the lesson maybe should have been like, maybe play less.
I don't know. I'm actually okay with Takato.
Well, okay. But my main point was like that if any of the three of them needed a vacation, it's probably Rika, you know?
Yeah, but Rika doesn't take vacations.
Rika is above vacations.
I would have liked to see Rika and Renamon bonding on their vacation.
I mean, Rika had like a tiny mini vacation when she went to the theater. And she kind of bonded with Renamon, although Renamon was not there.
Rika had many softening moments in this.
Yeah, arc. I was kind of proud of her.
Like, I forget what the context was, but it was like Calumon appears, but she thinks it's something scary, and then she's like, oh, it's just Calumon.
Yeah,
like,
it was the snake episode.
Yeah. She gives Renamon an energy drink.
Yeah, and she did really pretty well on, like, the teamwork front the first two episodes, since she wasn't really in the third one.
Yeah, the episodes she was in, at least.
Yeah.
She was all like, here's a phone, I threw it at you.
Okay. You keep casually bringing up things I want to go into more in depth, and I'm like, should I bring it up now or not? Okay, so first of all, the energy drink. Energy drink is a reference. So apparently, Renamon is based on, let me pull this up so I don't describe this. And this information is coming from Digipedia site, which I forget the title. I think it's like Digimon Encyclopedia or something. It's digipedia.dbdestiny.net. Anyway, there's a link in the show notes. I don't need to read the URL on the air. And I'm stalling because our internet is bad and it's not loading. But what Renamon is based on a Japanese folklore creature called Kitsune, which is a mythical Japanese fox spirit. And apparently in a later episode, Rika's grandmother actually like sees Renamon and is like, oh, that's a kitsune. So it's pretty blatant in Japanese, at least. I'm not sure how that's going to translate to English. But the energy drink thing is apparently in the legends. So I'm reading and quoting directly from Digipedia. In order to stop kitsune feeding on crop energy, I don't know what that means.
Everything has energy.
I guess like it would just be like bad harvest because they had taken the crop energy or something.
Yeah.
In order to stop kitsune feeding on crop energy, people would offer gifts to them via shrines. The act of giving the gift fills the kitsune's energy's needs. So Rika's gift and energy drink is both a nod to and a pun on this. Yeah, I mean, I think maybe like the direct reference to kitsune in that regard might be kind of a stretch because I think it's more, isn't that just an aspect of Japanese religious practice in general of giving gifts to gods and shrines?
As far as I know, yes.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, that is interesting. So yeah, I mean, the structure to this arc is like extremely simple. It is the first three devas. We haven't yet had explained to us what the devas are, but that's coming up.
There's a Chinese zodiac.
Not quite right.
Really?
I mean, a deva is not.
Right. And
the Digimon are.
Right.
Well, actually, I'm not sure. Yeah, I mean,
I'm pretty sure. Well,
I mean, I have written down notes about this.
Okay.
So deva, the word means divine being or god in Buddhism and Hinduism, and or at least that term is used. But in Japanese, they use both the term deva and shinsho, which means divine general, and that's apparently a term in Japanese Buddhism. And the names of all 12 of them come from the 12 heavenly generals, which are protective deities, and I cannot pronounce this Buddhist god, Baisajaguru, maybe? That was very off, but it is at least something, and is a Buddha of healing, apparently. And so, I mean, judging from that, it doesn't seem like they're, like, you know, like the top of the top, most famous heavenly generals. Or like, so it seems pretty obscure, or somewhat obscure, at least. And then, like, in the Wikipedia article for this list of 12 heavenly generals, it's like references are like mostly like tamers and three other anime I've never heard of. So that might just be otaku culture is the only one actually posting links there, or they might not be that well known. But anyway, yeah, so that's where all the names come from. And I'm pretty sure the animal connections too. So it's not just the Chinese zodiac.
Hmm.
But most of the names come from the Sanskrit names, actually, which I think is going to be explained a bit, or at least going to explain that deva is a term in Sanskrit in the next episode. But yeah, like Mahiramon, the Sanskrit name is Mahira, but the Japanese name for the same entity is Makira. And Sandiramon in Sanskrit is Sandilia, but in Japanese is Sanchira. Anyway, and it's the opposite for Sindoramon. Sindoramon is actually the Japanese name is Shindura, but the Sanskrit name is Kinara. Anyway,
They're all really hard to pronounce. Sorry.
They are all really hard to pronounce.
I mean, the Japanese names are hard to pronounce for me because I know how to pronounce Japanese, but it's hard for me to keep track. Like, especially Sandiramon and Sindoramon, I definitely swapped up several times.
That these names are the ones that the translators do not change is kind of funny and terrible. Of all the Digimon names not to change.
Yeah, like, what? Are you for real? Like, make him name Roostermon. What's your problem, translator?
I mean, I guess they wanted, you know, like, they're going to explain that it's, like, based on the Zodiac, and they wanted to keep the original connections, at least make it seem foreign. And, I don't know, at least the ones that are, like, the names that we find hard to remember are not. We kind of find them hard to remember because they're not important, you know?
I mean, yeah, there is that. They're only around for, like, half an episode apiece.
And I don't think they ever really refer to them by their name too much.
Yeah, no, they don't.
It's just us talking about the show that we want to refer to the names, and then we get really confused.
Well, let's just call them by the animal.
I will just call them by the animal, yeah. I'll be like, that's Tigermon.
If I recall, I think at least like one or two become important enough to maybe know their names. But
well, yeah. There's at least one.
Yeah, I can't remember if it's one or two. I think it might just be one. Anyway, my general complaints about this arc are, like, I don't think it was so terrible, but it wasn't exciting or interesting, and there are a lot of things that I attribute to the dub that I think exaggerated that.
Such as?
A lot of my experience with these episodes was me remembering the Davis arc as being the highlight of, maybe not the arc being the highlight of, but like the Davis being some of my favorite. I think I was re-listening to older episodes of the podcast to actually find quotes to put on the back of the buttons they were printing. And I think in listening to the first episode, I listed like favorite Digimon as being Davis because I was like, oh, it's so cool that they have a compelling motivation. And these episodes just like, no, they just completely contradict and squander that. And I mean, a lot of that is just like conflicts in the dub script, that there are things that they say in these episodes that directly contradict things that are said later. So it's not even like, you know, like a lot of our analysis of dub differences are like, well, in the Jap, like to kind of like consider both canons in our head, which gets confusing. But, you know, just if we're just considering the dub canon, like some things we have to either assume that they were like lying or assume that it was wrong, which is weird. But yeah, like I think all three of the Davis to some degree, I'm not sure about Sindoramon. Anyway, the first two at least, like, seem, Mihiramon especially is the one that has us the most, just like all the lines are like very exaggerated to make them seem like very bloodthirsty and very making them the aggressor.
Mihiramon is the tiger?
Yeah, sorry, yeah. Okay. Mihiramon is the tiger. The tiger one. He talks about being happy that he can finally invade, and that, like, he talks specifically about Digimon ruling over both worlds, and I'm not sure if this is actually, I forget if this voice at some point, there's like a voice before the tiger appears. I'm not sure that's supposed to be Mihiramon or a later Deva, but they, in the dub, talk to Imaki about how they want to enslave humanity and take over both worlds. And the Japanese just say, like, they won't serve humans. And, I mean, Sandiramon the snake has less of those, like, kind of, like, mustache-curling lines, but still, like, says it, like, still claims they're trying to rule over the humans. And, I don't know, taken on these episodes on their own, hasn't contradicted anything yet, but it will. And on its own, it's still just, like, these aren't really compelling villains because they're just, like, super evil and they're just attacking and they just need to be defeated because they're super evil. And I guess that's different than what we've seen in Tamer somewhere, because everything we've seen in Tamer somewhere has been beastly things that are not really, they're not like, oh, we're going to do something evil. We're just like, oh, we're going to rampage around town. So I guess that's like a step up in terms of dramatic tension, but it was a letdown for me expecting them to be very interestingly motivated characters, which they are not.
Jeff, I keep telling you, stop having expectations.
Yeah, that's a sad moral takeaway from this season.
I've been telling you this for multiple seasons.
But the thing is, I had that for Zero Two, you know, and it worked out well. Like, I mean, I had very little expectations, and it worked out well. But like,
that's what I'm saying.
but I like Tamers. I went into Zero Two being like, I'm not going to like this, and then liked it more than I thought I would. And I don't want to go into just being like, I don't like Tamers. Tamer sucks.
No, you have to be neutral.
I have to be objective.
Neutral is not objective, but okay.
Objective. So my theory was that episode 14 is one that has most of those like exaggerated dubisms. And I don't know how much of a stretch this is. I don't know that much about the writing process, but the dub writer of that episode was Steve Bloom. And I was like, it would make sense that if like the voice actor, it would make sense to me that like someone who is doing, do you remember which voices he does?
Gilmon, Yamaki.
Oh, is it just those two?
Gilmon and Yamaki have the same voice?
Yep.
Yep.
But so my theory anyway was that, like, because, I mean, it makes sense if he's voicing Maki, that, like, he maybe hyped up some of the tension or drama, like made things seem a bit more black and white to make them more have more dramatic payoff, because it's like, oh, those are cooler lines. That's just my theory. I don't actually know.
Wanted Yamaki to be his funny parody of a serious man self.
Apparently he does not. I was wondering who would voice Mahiramon, because, like, I mean, Yamaki also gets some of this amped up, you know, like, I mean, his, like, I don't know. I especially find it frustrating because, like, Yamaki's character moments are, I think, should be really interesting there, where, like, he had lots of hubris and then, like, things start to go wrong because it was hubris, and, like, how he reacts to that is really, should be really interesting, but kind of, it's weird.
No, he was just like, I'm flawless. How could this go wrong? You children and your filthy pets.
I really want to know what his damage is, because he's very, like, angry about the kids working with the mm-hmm. Digimon, and I was like, did something happen to you with Digimon when you were a kid?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, but, like, I wish I don't think we know anything about Yamaki ever, so, like, you know, fan fiction is out there.
Yeah, I'll get to that a bit more in my human interactions or adults sex section, but
oh good.
Any other general things before we get to favorites?
I don't endorse this Guillaumon Digivolution.
You don't like War Grommon?
No.
So why don't you endorse War Grommon?
He's just ugly.
I was kind of going and expecting to, like, really dislike War Grommon, and I came out being like, I don't dislike you that much.
I mean, he is certainly not going on my hockey helmet.
I don't understand why you like Grommon. Like, I don't like Grommon either, so.
Oh, I like Grommon. I'm, like, lukewarm on War Grommon. His, I don't know.
I just wanted something fiercer than a rookie, otherwise I would just put Guillaumon on it. But, like, just, like, War Grommon's metal mouth is, like, very unappealing.
I find the chest much more, like, it's, like, very big and bulky and, like, protruding everywhere, kind of.
And why does he have, like, axe hands? Like, I just don't understand.
To cut things with. Obvi.
His design is just not good. Takato, work on it sometime. Go redraw it.
It's too late. Too late.
No, this show breaks rule all the time. Redraw it.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, like, an alternate evolution path, like Skull Greymon.
Yeah, there we go.
That would be an interesting angle for them to take. So, favorite. So, War Grommon is not your favorite character. Who is your favorite character?
Can I say the televangelist owl?
No. No. I mean, like, by all the rules we've set up, yes, you can, but I'm not going to allow it.
Too bad. The owl. He who drinks of the light of man.
Wait, so, he's okay. So good. I have these are my, like, unanswered questions. Oh, I have plenty more unanswered questions about the owl to get to eventually. But, like, is that a televangelist? I don't know. What is that voice? Like, what is it a reference to? What is it? It
definitely feels like some smarmy preacher voice.
But, like, maybe the stuff he says sounds like a televangelist, but, like, the, like, accent did not. It was, like,
it sounds like a commercial voice.
The Devas. Oh, I don't know, like, that's just not,
much.
Like...
Yeah, it had too much,
actually,
like,
yeah,
weirdness.
No, that is kind of a televangelist kind of thing. Oh, no, you know who it actually reminded me of was Chanticleer from Rockadoodle.
What?
Which is a Don Bluth movie, and if Andrew were here, he could back me up on this. But if you guys have not seen Rockadoodle, then I don't know what to tell you. It's about it's about a rooster. Let's put it that way.
You know, yeah, no, it just sounds like it sounds like a mix between a televangelist and other stereotypical bird voices on television.
But, like, is that how a bird supposed to be, like, I am a bird. This is how birds talk.
No, that's the televangelist part.
That's how televangelists talk? Send me money. No, like, I don't even know what the...
All right, audience.
We are podcast hosts.
Well, now you just seem like you're doing a spooky voice, but that's right. Not what it is.
I think I am veering more and more off course.
Yeah, like...
I'm being more like a ridiculous ghost or something.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it is vaguely ghost-like, and that's...
No, he sounds like a mix between, okay, like, Elvis.
Yeah.
Televangelist. Typical birds.
No. You guys, like, when your internet is better, you need to see Rockadoodle and, like, understand.
What do real owls sound like?
Not like that. They sound like...
The Deva.
Deva.
That's like a southern preacher thing.
Exactly! That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
This commercial is weird.
Oh, you're watching the trailer? The movie was weird. It was a weird movie. It's about a rooster who is Elvis.
So it's just like a general Southern Elvis-ish?
I mean, it's not regular Southern people don't talk like that.
Yeah, it's a very dramatic Southern accent.
Yeah, it's extreme.
That I associate with, like, overemphasizing the power of God.
Yeah.
That Al was my least favorite character.
What?
Al is the best. I don't know what your problem is.
Yeah, Jeff, you're outvoted.
I think the last one came off a little British. I don't even know what.
It was, I don't know what it was. But also, you're outnumbered and voted off the podcast. Goodbye.
Wait, can I say a favorite moment? Because my favorite moment was the dramatic card throwing to each other that happened.
They threw it so far. It was like 20 feet or something.
Yeah, awesome. that was not possible.
Ash, what's your favorite? Who's your favorite character?
My favorite character for this arc was Renamon. She had some good lines.
If I didn't pick the owl, it would have been Renamon. But I picked the owl. No, definitely the owl.
No, not the owl. That was all ghost.
That was, yeah.
No one else is trying. Where's no one
that
else trying?
That was Bakemon. Why do we have to?
We should all say like Devas. The no. Devas.
I'm not.
We can use it as like a soundboard clip for like whenever we want to mention the Devas. The Devas.
My acting days are done. All right, guys, it's 10 p.m. We're still in general.
Okay, my favorite character is Impmon, because Impmon.
Because he finally turned to the good side?
He didn't, though.
Yeah, it's not like he has like made any massive turn, but we get glimpses into his, I don't know how to describe it, his general curmudgeonly...
His loneliness and patheticness.
His curmudgeonly.
His curmudgeonly, I mean, like his outward personality of being like, you all suck. Actually, I do want to play with you.
Oh, his tsundere-ness.
He's tsundere?
He's totally tsundere.
He's more than tsundere, though. I mean, it is that, like, that the tension between the crunchy outside and soft inside, but...
I mean, he's also more of a jerk than
right.
Tsunderes are typically portrayed to be.
More of a bully as the... Which one's the yes. Sun, which one's the Dere?
Sun is the turning away, and Dere is the, like, sweetness.
Okay, so he's more of a bully. He's a bully Dere. Bull Dere.
All right.
I'm looking at the word for Japanese word for bully, as we coined this term live, except I cannot.
I still love his turns in logic, like, you control who your Digimon play with, and they're like, no, we don't. He's like, then how come you never invited me to play?
Because nobody wants to play with you.
They're like, you can play with them, I don't care.
my second favorite character, who's not really a character, but I couldn't really pick, would just be the totem pole of Gilmon, Terrymon, and Calumon.
Oh. If nobody votes for the owl, I will be so sad.
So the closest term I can come up with is Iji Dere, because Iji Mekko means bully.
Okay.
Iji Dere. Anyway.
Commercial reaction time.
Commercials.
Today on Digimon, Yamaki's sinister plan to rid the world of Digimon backfires, and a powerful force is released.
What is this music?
I don't
care.
Weird jazz. I kind of like it. Big.
All new Digimon, this morning at 10:30 Eastern, 9:30 Central and Pacific on Fox Kids.
That was pretty underwhelming. It wasn't funny. Yeah, there's not much to say about that one. It wasn't funny, crazy, or ridiculous.
Yeah, there wasn't much to say about it.
So we're gonna start.
Legend tells of an ancient band of Digimon warriors, The Devas, who possess unrivaled powers. Here we go.
Why is this fake lightning?
Saturday, November 3rd on Fox Kids.
That was also underwhelming. These commercials are not ridiculous as I hoped, like they were last time.
Because everything about this arc and these episodes is not good.
It's underwhelming, definitely. Definitely everything is underwhelming. This commercial could have been so much better if they had just said Devas like the owl. It's been like...
The Devas
are coming.
They should have just let the owl give the commercial.
Yes, they should have let the owl do the commercial. Oh my God.
There has to be a commercial like that. I tried to find more commercials for the episode, but I couldn't. Again, I could only find the ones from this one video. But I mean, the owl had to have been the commercials. Come on. Like, there's no way they pass it. That owl. So I was just thinking about in these episodes how Imaki, correct me if I'm wrong, but Imaki, I'm pretty sure, is the first adult we've seen interact with Digimon outside of like a pre-existing relationship with kids aside from Oika. So what I mean is, like, we've seen lots of adults, like the kids' parents, interact with Digimon, but that's like, you know, like they've been introduced via their kids, and we've seen, and aside from that, aside from like being introduced because their kids are, you know, like interacting with like Digimon, Oikawa is the only other one. Can you guys
World Tour, there were some adults, like the Chinese army.
That is very true. That breaks this down.
Like TK's grandfather.
TK's grandfather, though, was just like, I'm going to storm the Palace of Versailles, and they're having Digimon there.
Yeah, and like he has a relationship with TK.
Right. But yeah, the army, yeah, and there are several, instances with the army in like Niagara Falls and stuff. So I guess it's like, but I was thinking like there seems to be a weird pattern where like adults that interact with Digimon are always the villains, which those are kind of holes in that pattern. But I think it makes sense as a approach you take with characterizing adults, because it's like, it's kind of a natural kid versus adult dynamic.
I think you can still have that even with the Chinese army thrown in. Like, they were going to throw down with the Digimon.
Yeah, they were initially antagonistic.
Right. That's true. Yeah, they had to, like, dispel that.
But in this case, even with Yamaki being, like, overtly evil-sounding, he thinks he's doing the right thing.
Right. Yeah, they're definitely... So the case where I was describing, like, the dub kind of exaggerating both Yamaki and the Devas, they take characters that are supposed to have, like, aggressive but realistic motivations and just turn them into, like, extremely aggressive, just like, we're going to dominate everything. But Yamaki, you know, just kind of muddle. It doesn't really make him evil. It just, like, kind of muddles the things. It makes him more like, oh, you kids. Kids are freaks, you Digimon freaks. But, like, he still comes from a reasonable place, you know, like, where he has to kind of deal with this problem, and, like, it makes sense with the tools that he's been given, which he has not been given Digimon to help fight these things, so, like, how else are you going to do it? And it kind of makes sense that from his perspective, not being given a Digimon friend, to kind of lump them all in together at this point. Although there's a bit, I mean, you really should be watching the kids and be like, okay, these ones they're partnering with are not that evil. You know, like, if you're watching better, maybe you could see that. But that's something that comes from a realistic motivation.
I think he knows that about the kids' partners, because why would he let them keep them?
That's true. He doesn't try to ever just be like, I'm going to, like, when he encounters the kids with the Digimon, he doesn't consider them a threat at that moment. He kind of, like, goes to, like, pet Grommon or Gilmon.
Yeah, he did.
And Guillaumon growled at him.
And I
was like, really, Guillaumon? I'm not sure about this response from you.
Yamaki is very complicated, and we never hear about what he actually wants, from what I remember. And it's really upsetting.
I don't know. It is an interesting trend to be painting the adults as, like, whenever they interact with the Digimon, it is a more aggressive, they don't really understand kind of way. And Oikawa didn't, because he kind of...
Well, he started out as a kid.
Right. I was going to say he was grandfathered, and he started as a kid and then grew up with him.
Yeah.
And still ended up having shades of that in different ways. Like, he wasn't trying to delete all Digimon or anything, but he was still aggressive.
Yeah, he was still a villain.
Yeah. But, I don't know, it's weird. It's weird in contrast to, I think, Saber's is the one that comes to mind immediately as, like, there are several adults who interact with Digimon in a not, I just want to wipe out all Digimon kind of way.
Technically, most of the characters are adults.
I mean, high school age.
Isn't Yoshino 19?
Yeah, I think Yoshino is out of high school.
And Thomas is also 19, I think?
Really?
Maybe? I don't know. I know Marcus is in high school.
Yeah, he's the only one I know for sure. I thought Thomas was the same age.
He might be. He might just be a genius. I don't know.
Anyway, is that series definitely more adult oriented, whereas this series has a lot of adults and, you know, has a lot to say about the different generations.
Mm-hmm. But we haven't gotten there yet.
Right. All we've gotten for now is Yamaki and vague Henry's dad being knowing,
yeah,
something.
Right.
I mean, yeah, right now it just seems like their only motivation, like, I can't understand Yamaki's motivations except that he works for the government, which makes me think that he just, like...
Well, also that, like, Digimon are a threat and he wants to, like, remove the threat and protect people.
Right.
That aren't those motivations?
It's not a deep, like... What?
Oh, I'm just saying, like, those are motivations on the level of, like, you want to protect people, so you need to destroy the Digimon. Like, I don't know if you need much more of a deeper motivation than that.
Except he seems to have it, because he's all like, digital scum.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Dude, chill out.
Yeah, I guess I attribute that to some of the dub exaggeration.
Well, yeah, but we're watching the dub.
I know, but like... I'm just like... In the same way that you can kind of be like, the animation in this one episode was like really subpar, so I'm not going to think that Renamon is actually 2 inches thick and... or whatever, or like that Rika has three arms, that doesn't actually happen. But like, you're not going to be like, well, that's just an inconsistency in the animation. I'm kind of doing that for the dubbing. And that's much less legitimate, because I mean, I think writing feels more sacred to do that too, to just kind of selectively remove things from your headcanon. But yeah. Yeah. Other things, I don't know. Not that like, there's not very much profound, just like, it's a kind of a cliched message to be like, you know, the adults kind of can't see, like, the kids can understand the friendship level and the adults can't, and the adults just see them as monsters where the kids see them as friends. I actually can't think of other examples of that, but it feels cliched.
I mean, it's cliched on the level of, like, when you're an adult, you stop, like, having an imagination and believing in things, whereas the kids are still like, no, I believe in these things.
An interesting angle to that is, like, I feel like in fiction aimed at kids, there is rarely, I thought I was on the spot, so I don't have good backup for this, but I feel like there's rarely friendships between adults shown, because it's focusing on kids, right? And like, adults are there to, because of their relationship to the kids, and they are very rarely shown as having friendships in their own right. So it's kind of like this dichotomy between like, kids can have friends, but like, adults just do business.
Yeah.
I guess that's true, but all I can think of is Harry Potter, and I feel like Harry Potter actually does a good job of showing that adults can be friends.
Yeah, like... I feel like if they do show adults interact, like if there's time for adults to sort of have their own screen time, like they usually show them, you know, interacting with other adults. So I wouldn't say that children's media doesn't show adults having relationships, but it doesn't show them like having multi-generational relationships, actually, is what it falls flat on. Like, yeah, adults are introduced as relatives, for the most part, I feel. Relatives and teachers. Mm-hmm. But we don't often... I feel there isn't a lot of, like... We only get a few of those relationships and not a lot of, like, interacting with say, kids that aren't yours in some way. Like, there's some sort of block. And now I'm thinking of Arthur, actually. And there were a lot of adults in Arthur, actually. Like, we got to meet all the kids' parents.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this whole, like, adult versus kid thing made me think that, like, a cool dynamic, which they don't actually explore, would be to have, you know, digital beasts or whatever. They're, like, you know, the normal... The way the show presents it is, like, the normal reaction is to be friends with these things, and the adults are the weird ones that are, like, we don't understand being friends. And then eventually, like, we understand friendship. But I think it'd be much more interesting to portray it as, like, you know, take the other perspective and be like, these things are really dangerous. And I guess the first episode kind of does this with Takato's reaction to Gilmon and being like, oh my god, it's really scary. Oh, we can actually be friends. But it's very shortcutted and very simple path to that. But yeah, I think it would be cool. I'm kind of sad that Digimon never takes this approach of, like, portraying them as actually being really dangerous and it being about discovering that they are not. And it reminds me of something that I've been reading lately, which is Shaman King, rereading. And a common theme in that is enemies, at least in the beginning, because I've only read the first 9 volumes, but enemies who seem very evil and just like totally ruthless, and kind of defeating them through understanding them and befriending them, mm-hmm. which will be cool if Digimon ever... I mean, are there any, you know, like, maybe not like the theme of the season, but like, are there any like Digimon... on an individual level that happens with, that I can't think of?
Gatomon.
I feel like she just switches. The people don't switch. Like, no one really comes to understand her. She just totally flips everyone else.
That's true.
Wizardmon basically just, like, turns, like, presses a switch on her, and then she just switches into...
Yeah, I feel like the same thing happens to Koichi in season 4. Trying to remember.
I'm like, this Ogremon doesn't count because the same thing where he comes to understand everybody else.
Yeah.
What about Impmon?
Yeah, what about Impmon?
Well, he's not dangerous. Oh, well, then he gets dangerous, right? He gets dangerous before they, like, start understanding him.
No, I mean, there are... I don't want to, like, spoil the details about this, but, like, now I think there are some shades to this and how things play out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I forgot it in one. I'm always to forget about. because no, that aspect totally is there.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing about it would be really ambitious to like have the idea of Digimon themselves being a scary thought that they had to broach, you know, like to actually have any, there's no way that could fit any kind of structure of Digimon. You know, like you'd have to have episodes where they don't have Digimon partners and they're trying to figure out if they can even have Digimon partners. It's a silly idea. I'm throwing it out. The final thing about adults sucking is what the Yamaki assaulting Henry?
Yeah, that wasn't okay.
It is apparently even more explicit in the Japanese. Like he is, there are like it cuts. Obviously, like, it makes sense there'd be things chopped, but I didn't think it'd be any worse. Like there apparently it's more explicit that he's actually trying to strangle him, not just holding him by the collar.
Oh, jeez.
I thought Henry's reaction also was not like hype enough trying to get away from him.
He's like, I'm being strangled. Cool.
Yeah, too chill. Too chill. Henry, it's good you have chill, but not that much chill.
Yeah.
Up in a notch. Up in a notch.
Like, I like the idea of Yamaki reacting to, like, he's done something wrong. And it's going to take a while for him to, like, realize that and to, like, you know, seek forgiveness, I guess, and, you know, like, come to their side, whatever. But, like, he's done something wrong and, like, he's Icarus risen to the sun and he's starting to fall down, whatever. And instead of blaming himself, he's like just shooting the blame, letting it bounce off him, hit anyone else. And he's like, well, it's your fault because you're partners and you mess with the Digimon and rah.
Yeah, his blaming was really not, he couldn't back it up with an example.
Right. It's silly logic, but I think it is an interesting and realistic dynamic for him to have.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I think he had other things he could have blamed better.
Yeah, totally. But I think there's also like an aspect of like these kids are definitely the ones who are solving things and I'm mad at them because they are doing things I can't.
I feel like this is more Yamaki sucks than adults suck.
That's true. Yeah, there was one aspect of it, which was like the adult versus kid things like didn't really wasn't the meat of this topic. It's all about Yamaki. Yamaki's the only adult. He's the only adult in the universe.
There's the teachers, actually.
Yeah, there were teachers in this.
That's true. They were just there. They seem kind of cute, Miss Asagi and Mr. Mori together.
I mean, I don't like them as a couple, actually.
Yeah, I don't know if it was like a romantic couple, but
I like their dynamic, yes. It leads to fun dialogue.
Anyway, I like Yamaki blaming the kids. I do not like him strangling them. Because that is just ridiculous.
Yeah, no, that's not okay. We do not condone child strangling in this podcast.
We take some pretty divisive stances.
It furthers the weirdness that happened in the previous arc of, like, Yamaki came and confronted Takato and Henry, and then Henry ran after him. I'm like, Henry, what are you doing?
I think that's why Yamaki went after Henry here.
No, sure, but, like, in neither situation does Henry's response make any sense.
Henry, his maturity levels do not make sense to me. He was like, I'm going out to do chores to like his parents. And I'm like, what chores do you, what errands do you have, 10-year-old child, that you will not be back until dinner?
Right, like, I can understand having chores. Not like, I'm going to go out to town and like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think kids in Japan are generally more mature. I don't know how it is for like a large family like that, but at least what I've seen in anime of smaller families, it seems like kids have more responsibilities like picking up groceries and making dinners and stuff like that.
Yeah, but he's not even the oldest child.
Right.
I think that's more of an oldest child thing.
Yep. So I don't know.
So, yeah. Henry's great.
I believe somebody a while ago on the forum was like, talk about how painful it looks to Digivolve. So now that we had an ultimate Digivolution, Matrix, whatever it's called these days, let's talk about that.
I guess I hadn't really thought about how painful the actual Digivolution animation looks, because I'm just like, it just looks so cool.
It looks cool, but it looks so painful.
I've mentioned before that the Digivolution Champion looks really painful.
But so it's not just like the skin being peeled off, it's like their actual faces that they're making, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's all of those things. I think it makes the like skin peeling off noise as well. Like, ooh.
It makes a noise. I don't think it makes a peely noise, but it does make noise.
Yeah, so seeing their like actual body, in addition, so removing the layer of the skin being peeled off, literally, like the just the like the motions that I'm watching Gilmon go through, they evoke memories to me of growing pains, even though I'm like, okay, I guess I've never actually been in a situation where I just like, you know, grew several feet and you know, like had horns and stuff. But I don't know. I guess maybe what I'm thinking of is that it reminds me of like just general like fighting charges, like rawr, like we are raw kind of, not like a, less so like pain, maybe?
I don't know. Terrier Mons looks pretty painful.
Okay, I guess it makes weird electronic sounds, but like only at the part where the skin is being peeled off. So yeah. It makes it seem like it's supposed to be like that. But yeah, I actually feel like the English one comes off as scarier because the music is much darker than the Japanese version.
Right. The Japanese music is like really exciting and like, we're digivolving. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. The English one is like a gritty guitar. Doesn't sound overall happy. It sounds like sort of scary. But no, I think it's supposed to be evocative of actual growing pains that children experience.
Which is weird when I thought about that, because like no one goes through this kind of like moment, just like single moment.
It's a dramatization.
No, I'm not saying you're wrong. Like, I agree with you. I just don't understand how we are making that connection, you know? Because no one goes through this so instantaneously, and yet...
I think it is supposed to be more just like growing up is hard.
Mm-hmm. Just like the idea of like pain and growing and just that those things abstractly.
And not together. Just like physically hard, but like in this. I also think it is supposed to be a like Yamaki insisting that they're just data, digital scum, whatever. And just like anytime they show him destroying a Digimon, it also looks painful. Like they don't just like that moment before they become the little bits of light things, there's like a moment that looks really painful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems unsurprising that while Digimon die, they are in pain.
No, but it's a good humanizing...
Yeah. Like, especially when they're defeated by him.
Yeah. But it makes me then feel bad when I delete things from my computer now. Like, it's...
I'm not dignifying that with a response.
No.
No.
No, because I think we constantly think of things as like, oh, well, I could just like re-download them and they'd be the same or whatever. But
yes, they would be. I mean, if there's a parallel to me, it's like just like a general concept of othering and how, you know, like the Yamaki's looking down on these Digimon as just being data, or like any of the kind of Ken did it too, and all these characters in Digimon do that, of just being like, oh, they're just data and they can just be deleted and stuff, I think is more supposed to be relatable as like looking at other people and being like, oh, they're just whatever, and like everything in general.
See, again, this is a situation where it'd be sort of more interesting for the Digimon to see Digimon attack humans and have the concept of us be like, yo, like, you just killed a human. I don't know, I actually want somebody to die. Like, I want a human to die directly from a Digimon.
I've seen this a lot, where I've seen this recently. It's a common thing in sci-fi to have, you know, like, evil-looking things that you come to accept as being human-like, and, you know, they're just... And it's a metaphor for minorities of any kind. But, like, I feel like whenever there's a conflict, it's always the other that has to, like, reach out first to the human-like people, and that's when things... I guess something that actually... This happens several times in the storyline of Final Fantasy XIV, and it's, like, in Final Fantasy XIV, there are beast tribes, which I'm like, ugh, that phrasing, and, like, the entire concept of these, like, these beast-like... creatures that are just, they're just instead like warlike and they're like, they're evil and stuff. But like, I mean, the point of these storylines is you come to like build relationships with them and have diplomacy and stuff. But it's always like because the humans, and they're not just human race, they are like fake pseudo human races, and they're the human lookalikes, and they're good and they're defending against the evil ones. And then at some point the beasts will do something that's like, oh, we're actually not that evil. And then diplomacy starts. And I'm like, but like, it just totally doesn't reflect the fact that, like, in real life, it usually comes from the dominant class learning empathy instead of it coming from the minority class changing their behavior, you know?
Right, but in Digimon, like, I get that Yamaki sees them as a threat, and they seem scary, but they haven't actually done anything to anybody.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it's a very good point, because, like, they're just a threat in a, like... I hadn't thought this for my topic, but yeah, like they're a threat in a, like, they shouldn't be here, but like, how are they, how is their being there actually that big of a problem? You know, like, The only thing I think of is, like, they're not supposed to be there.
It's like they're not supposed to be there, so then the kids go and fight with them, and then they destroy infrastructure and stuff. Mm-hmm. But only from that fighting, yeah.
So, like, what does it mean to be supposed to be there? Like, who is supposed to be where? Like, they are just from a different place. Like, is it just, like, they're immigrating, and that is terrible? And, like, I mean, yeah, that's kind of a gross concept that, like, I hadn't thought of how, like, this is totally reinforcing the idea of, like, you know, people come in from a foreign place. They want, like, we've mentioned a couple of times with the Digimon, like, a couple of them have said they want to, like, live in the human world, and they want to, like, get tamers and stuff, and their reaction is, like, you're not supposed to be here. Gone with you, which is kind of gross.
It's like, you're not supposed to be here. You're also just not supposed to be real, like, and that's why they're trying to do this empathetic. Look, they're more than data.
Okay, so yeah, so, like, Yamaki has this, like, the like, hypnosis organization has a stance, like, they're not real. But, like, I'm thinking, like, even the
kids... Rika also displays this initially.
Okay, initially. But I'm thinking even the kids that we like, totally are on the same page as, even, like, Takato and Henry, are still, like, you're not supposed to be here. We need to take you down, you know?
Right, and, for the evil Digimon. The quote-unquote evil Digimon.
Right. And at least we're now in the arc of all of the Digimon they're fighting are actually, like, we are going to take over the world. Or, you know, like, even that's exaggerated in the dub or whatever, like, they're still the aggressors in... Much more so than the beast like ones they fought before. I mean, but it's also just, like, generally upsetting to, like I'm thinking, like, Alamon. Like, the world would not, I don't think there's any peaceful way for, like, a dinosaur to just appear and for humans, like, if the kids hadn't intervened and defeated Alamon, like, you know, nation, like, Japan would have sent military to deal with it, you know?
Yes, we've seen that.
Yeah, I guess.
But it's still a problem of the Digimon never actually do, like, they destroy things, I guess, sometimes.
It's just their existence that is supposedly dangerous. Yeah, that's...
Digimon.
Was this...
Anyway.
Yeah, well, I feel like we got to an interesting tangent, but was that a tangent, or was that, like, the meaty thing?
I don't know what's happened. But, like, the ultimate Digivolution was CGI and not as painful looking.
Yeah, it was not.
But yet the interaction between Takato and Ogamon was. It was about pain.
That is true, yeah.
And we get to see, like, a half-formed... Or half destroyed War Grommon.
Well, Grommon.
In that strange. Oh, yeah. It was Grommon. Wait, now I'm confused.
It was just like when they get the part that had been bitten by Tiger Devimon removed. Whatever.
Yeah. So it I think. It's interesting.
Actually.
You guys have said interesting so many times today. Especially you, Jeff. You said it like 20 times in the space of 10 seconds at some point.
Interesting, I think.
What's that from?
It's Rika's grandmother.
Oh.
It's how she describes the play.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right.
Well, when Takato was, like, feeling War Grommon's pain, I was just like, I'm having a very Escaflowne-esque moment here. In that, like, Vaughn learns to feel Escaflowne's pain even when he's not in it. So are Henry and Rika going to feel pain of the other two? Or is this
That's what I'm wondering. I
don't remember them. And I also, what I'm not sure about is I don't remember if this happens with Takato and War Grommon in any other Digivolution.
That's what I'm confused about. I was like, wait, what is this?
I feel that it doesn't. And I wonder if it has something to do with the particular bond that Takato and Gilmon have as creator and Digimon, rather than just partner.
But why just this one battle?
Because it's the first one to ultimate, I don't know. Maybe the rift between the digital world and the real world also created a sort of... It cut through the barrier between Digimon and partner.
This seems like believable mumbo-jumbo.
My other guess is it's foreshadowing the evolution to come after this one.
I mean, that's the only thing I got, the foreshadowing part.
I mean, I was thinking that, like, if it's only this one battle, I can't remember if it is or isn't, but, like, that, like, maybe it just comes from the fact that it's the one battle we've seen where Takato can't see the battle, you know, and he's, like, there's an aspect, which I don't think they, like, emphasize it quite enough, for my liking, of, like, the tactical difficulties of, like, how do they help the Digimon fight when they can't see what's going on, and they basically just have to, like, send them off, and then they come back, and then that's it.
What I don't understand is why they didn't send all three of them off at once. The Devas were perfectly, they were perfectly able to take down the Devas as champions as long as they teamed up. Like, it only took two of them.
They learned that later.
Yeah, well, they could have learned it there. They were all three there.
Yeah, that is. I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, it's totally true. But yeah, so like maybe the like Takata's psychic connection came from a like, you know, I can't see what's going on with Gilmon. And but also that I think I forget which one you mentioned it, the like creator bond, that like he has an innate closer connection to him because he created him, and maybe tapped into that because he couldn't get any other feedback. Maybe my theory.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Well, I mean,
I will buy this.
I mean, lots of things can make sense, but they aren't mentioned by the show directly, so.
But I just thought that the ultimate evolution would look less painful because it's more of a, like, now I'm excited to get more powerful, whereas the first one's kind of like, it's a struggle going through those tween years.
But, I mean, in real life, there's no, like, you're not, like, it's not like going from like 15 to 20 is like a really big struggle, and then going from like 40, going like 50 to 60. Yes, I'm finally 60. Like, no, like you actually, there's diminishing returns in how much you want to be growing up to your past a certain age.
Well, that varies also.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess also Digimon doesn't really, aside from Digimon and Obamon, or no, it's not the right names. The like grandfather and grandmother Digimon that we're going to meet soonish. Oh, what?
That is Digimon and Babamon.
Mm, Babamon. They're like, aside from them, like Digivolution and terms of aging is not a like, it's not, it doesn't go to end of life. It's like, it seems like the mega level is more like being 30.
Well, sure. But I mean, going from 15 to 20 or like 20 to 25 is generally perceived as easier than going from 10 to 15.
Right. So I'm agreeing with you that like in the whole progression from up to 30, there's excitement to get older, maybe. And the at least commonly portrayed view is that like, you know, 40 is like, oh God, no one wants to be 40.
That's not true though. My grandparents were like, no, 40 was the best age we had. It's like, all right, I like that better than thinking my life is over after 20.
It's not that it's over, it's just downhill.
Well, I don't want to think it's downhill from 20 either. Like 20 sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. It is very depressing and not a good outlook. And it's also like, I don't even know how relevant. I'm saying this is, I think, very common in American culture. But, you know, like these dynamics of like the like all these dynamics we're talking about come from the Japanese version. And so, like, I imagine it's also very different in Japan, where elders are respected a lot more. And
being
old is more respected and honored. So
I'm not sure how much that is still true either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't say I don't know anything about how it's changed.
And there's like worldwide, I think there is largely a glorification of youth.
Hmm.
So, you know.
It's definitely true in anime.
Yeah, sure is.
I mean, the glorification of youth.
Yeah.
Pew, pew, pew. So our rapid fire segment where we say things really quickly, and I always say things quickly so you can understand me. Yeah, there were a lot of adorable things in these episodes, even though, especially like, I think my least favorite episode was the camping trip one, but it had adorable things. There will be pictures in our show notes, but I don't have them prepared for our hosts. So sorry, guys. But the Tamer's flag in episode 15 was really cute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cute. Looking at China's part.
I liked Rika's reaction to it better.
I mean, it is really dorky, and wasn't she just happy it's been destroyed? Or like when Gilmon
falls on it.
Yeah,
she was like, I owe you one, Gilmon.
Yeah. It's so what you're saying is you don't like cute things. Are you saying that Takano's right in that saying that cute things are girly and wrong and bad?
No, Gilmon is always right. He had another, well, this is my favorite. He had another reaffirming moment. I don't remember what they said, though, but, like, when all of them come to see him, I think the cute, cool thing, like, resurfaces, and then he's like, they can call me whatever they want as long as they bring me peanut butter.
The other cute scenes were when Terrymon and Kalamon are eating rice balls inside a tree trunk that had fallen down next to Henry, and they're all just eating and they look really cute.
Yes.
And also all the Kalamon, Terrymon, Gilmon totem poles scenes. They're very cute.
Yes.
They basically left out Rinnamon from these episodes so they could have that totem pole.
So they could have cute things happen. Yeah,
basically, I guess.
But Rinnamon brings all the cool.
But how cute would it have been if Mom was in the totem pole too?
How cute would it have been if Rinnamon was in the totem pole?
She already gets like massive cool points. Whereas Intmon is just trying to be cool, so like he kinda needs something else to like compliment him. I feel bad for him.
Well, Guillemon has all the Q points, so...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That, like, you know, Renamon has the cool handled, Guillemon has the cute handled, and Mon is just kind of, like, somewhere in between.
He gets the Wooby points for being a Wooby.
What are you saying? Wooby?
Yeah. You don't know what a Wooby is? All right.
I don't know what a Wooby is.
I try to guess, like, what kind of... Is this, like, otaku kind of thing, or is it a...
It's a trope. So a Wooby is a name for any type of character who makes you feel extremely sorry for them.
So is this a, like, just TV tropesism, or has it spread beyond TV tropes?
Oh, I'm sure it exists beyond TV tropes. I've heard it in a lot of circles. But I mean, TV tropes doesn't originate most things, does it?
I didn't... think so, but I mean, they definitely originate. There definitely seem like plenty of things when you look on a page that are just like they needed some name to describe this trope, this trend.
Well, maybe they named it, maybe they didn't. I don't know.
Yes, so Inman is a Wooby. I agree. The way Rika reflects on her feelings in the play, at first I was like, oh my god, they're just trying to save animation budget by filling time with flashbacks. But then I was like, actually, this is exactly what I do when I'm bored in a play, watching a play or watching any kind of stage thing.
No, but she seemed actually emotionally affected by this really asinine play.
Well, I think the play was probably not as awful as we were led to believe it was, but like...
Well, I'm sure.
Yeah. But also like the dub made it more...
The dub made it bad, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And also Rika's filter probably made it more... She probably didn't care about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But like then it... Yeah, she did actually seem like she made an emotional connection to the play, but it was like... Because of Renamon, which I think is
right. No, but it was normal. Like this silly lost my dog, found my dog thing really reminds me of the current situation.
Okay. Like, yes, it's silly. Like that connection was really silly. But like, I'm just like, when I guess I haven't like seen musicals or plays in a long time, but I guess I've seen like live performances. And often I'm just like, because it's like with like one single thread that I don't know. For some reason, something about like watching a musical or performance or something makes me more bored than watching a movie or show or anything. And I just end up thinking about things a lot. So I found even though that connection was kind of silly, like it seemed resonant to me of just being like, I'm bored here. Let me think about Renamon. Yeah, I mean, I liked all Impon's moments lingering around the Digimon, calling them stupid because he wanted to be involved but didn't want to admit it. And I guess I like it because it seems like how kids actually act when they think they're too cool for something but actually want to be involved in it. And I don't have direct experience with that because I was not too cool for anything. Reading the differences between the dub and the Japanese version, apparently they don't... In one of the scenes when they're with the train in the subway, in the Japanese version, they just say, oh, the train's not running anymore today. So there's no more trains. But in the English version, they say, like, this train... There's one more train going to 24th Street Station. And actually did that. To me, I was like, 24th Street Station? Because there is a station in San Francisco, 24th Street. And I'm like, that must be common, though, right? And I Googled, and it's not... that common. There apparently used to be a 24th Street Station in Philadelphia, and there is like one that seems really remote and like not. I looked at the picture and like it looked really in the middle of nowhere in San Diego and San Francisco. So I'm like,
for like BART, we're talking about.
Well, I mean, there's BART and Muni. There's no Muni. I mean, there's
no, the Muni doesn't go there.
I mean, there's like a bus stop. That doesn't really count. But yeah, I guess it's weird because like it's not by like city standards. Like the 24th Street Station, the BART station in San Francisco is not. You know, it's not like a hub or anything. So, I mean, it could just be a random number and a street name, but my headcanon is that the writer was from San Francisco. But I tried to trace down this writer, and they are like a generic name that is written in 3 episodes of Digimon, and I can't find anything else about them. Because it's like too generic of a name.
Stop having generic names.
Yeah, Alan Smith.
Oh, God, that is really generic.
We're kidding, Alan Smith. We don't hate you, except the episode was kind of bland.
All the Alan Smiths. We love you.
We talked about the CGI evolution sequence, but I don't think we really touched on enough how bad the CGI looks.
Yeah, it was not great.
I mean, all of the animation in all of these episodes was...
I don't think it was that bad.
It's pretty bad.
But it's just like CGI in particular, like has aged so poorly, it's kind of a shame. Do you guys remember if the other Ultimate Digivolutions use CGI?
They must.
I assume they do.
I mean, because it's, I think it's a trend for like the main Digimon to use CGI and the non, like the main characters. Like in Adventure, it was just War Greymon. I think it was just War Greymon. Sorry, just Metal Greymon. And I think maybe Where Gurumon?
Where Gurumon was also... No, they all did.
No, really?
Now you have me doubting myself.
Good.
Let me find
I'm trying to remember Mega Kabuterimon, and I actually think that was not CGI.
I mean, War Greymon and Metal Gurumon definitely were. We can agree on that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Garurumon was looking it up. Lines. No, maybe they were partially.
I'm watching Mega Copy Tagmon now.
Kibimon is not CGI.
Actually, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
So Mega Copy Tagmon, no CGI.
Yeah, I guess it is maybe just Takato.
But I think maybe I can't remember if the Mega Digilutions are or not. Because it's weird because I think as a kid I would have been like, oh, the CGI thing looks cooler. But things age.
No, Taomon's Digivolution definitely looks better.
Two Taomon or?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, sure. Anyone else have things to pew?
I guess we might have touched on this already, but like I was so mad at like Takato and Henry in the third episode we watched, which was 16, I guess, when they were like, oh no, it's going to be all our fault because we didn't attack this Digimon. I was like, and like Henry was all like, oh, responsibility. And then Takato was like, no, Henry. And I was like, yeah, tell him, Takato. And then Takato was like, it's both our faults. And I was like, shut up. And it's like, I don't like the idea that like it's a bad thing not to attack a being that has not attacked you. Like, the rooster thing had not done anything to them at that point.
See, that's the...
Yeah, I feel like I had the opposite reaction, which was like, I was like, oh, it's a slave for them to... What I find frustrating is they considered it a threat, but they were like, it's not a threat big enough for us to attack, you know?
I didn't like that either.
Right, so like, what they really should have done is not considered it a threat, and...
They should have tried to talk to it, yeah.
Yeah, why didn't they just talk to, like... What's wrong with talking, guys?
But this is what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Like, it destroyed electricity that did not directly affect them. They did not talk to it. They just were like, okay, whatever, I'm gonna attack it.
I mean, I'm okay with them, like, taking it on after they realized it was, you know, causing blackouts. Because blackouts can actually be really dangerous. And it's not just, like, a convenience thing. But, like, God, like, that I did not agree with the messages of that episode.
Yeah. I mean, your thought about the blackouts being pretty dangerous just made me reflect on how the like threats that these Digimon pose in these episodes have been much more dire in weird ways. Like the I can't, Cinduramon, I think, the chicken one, rooster one, like the blackout is like, that blackout is like directly can be really dangerous. But the snake one reminded me of the, I can't remember, I don't know like the best title for this incident but the terrorist attacks in Tokyo subways in the 90s that apparently are like the biggest attack on Japanese soil since World War II. So like, I assume way much more present in Japanese people's minds than it is to us. I had never heard of it until I watched Penguin Drum. But yeah, that like, even if the snake isn't like, you know, directly attacking anyone, or it isn't like a huge threat, like this, the connotation of like smoke, I mean, it was a gas attack too. It's like the connotation of like smoke in a subway and attacks and like evacuating subways, I think might be much more dire to a Japanese audience.
What I didn't like about that episode was that then Takato is just like, let me just dig a hole into
right,
the subway.
Like,
and I'm like, you're destroying infrastructure.
Yeah, like, who's going to repair that? And the, I can't remember, System Restore, the blog that does episode recaps and reviews, I think directly mentioned that, like, yeah, like when, well, he mentioned the like, he just apparently doesn't hit any kind of plumbing or electricity wires or anything like that going through.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Just like, it's totally safe and totally doesn't break anything.
It's just the property, like, thinking of how they would have to fix that just made me really mad. Like, especially, does that make any sense that he could drill down, like, he drilled down into a station, right? Not, like, the middle of the tunnel.
Yeah, it was, like, a station.
So shouldn't there have been an entrance to the station really nearby? Like, that makes no sense.
Actually, that reminds me that, like, I had vague memories of this episode, but I didn't remember how they got, I remembered that, like, they're in the park. I remembered that something happens. They had to go down into the subway. I didn't remember how that happened. I didn't remember it was the drill or anything. So I, like, in my back of my head, I was like, is there, like, an entrance to the subway in this park? This doesn't make sense. And then I was
right,
like, but like, it, right, like, even with them drilling through to the ground, like, still doesn't make sense because there would have to be a station there.
There would have to be a station, like, very close to where they were.
Well, actually, we can go map it out while we're there.
Yeah.
Sorry, I mean, we will have mapped it out while we have been already there.
Yes, exactly.
Being a Digimon tamer is so new to me.
I have so many unanswered questions.
What, you had a Digivolution card?
Yeah, that was my first one, too.
What?
Where did that come from? Weren't they just complaining about not having those?
So my other problem is that if they knew that they existed, wouldn't they have just bought a bunch of cards waiting to get that one and then use that all the time?
Apparently in the Japanese version, they referenced this card existing before. This is what I read. This is what I saw reading these like dub versus sub notes. But like, that doesn't, it seems to raise other problems. It's like, yeah, how was that brought up before? And like, why didn't they at the time use that to try to digivolve? Like, I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense.
And why, I think it happens for all three of the Davids. I think maybe not one of them, but I think it's all three. That like, they try to get info about them on their Digivice and it's not working. And you're like, oh, so like, they're like anomalies and they're not. And then it's like 5 seconds later, like, oh, it's working. And like, why is there always a delay? And even,
how do they get the jet projections on their Digivices in the first place?
Actually, I don't want to think about that because it looks cool.
It doesn't make any sense.
Okay, it defies the laws of physics,
mm-hmm.
but it looks cool.
Mm-hmm. What Gargomon can run out of ammo? Where does the ammo come from?
He's actually spitting parts of his body out, and he's like, I lost all my organs now. I'm empty.
Okay. Those are my unanswered questions.
When they're traveling in the bus, I was like, I understand why Terrymon works as a like backpack animal, an animal-looking backpack. Why does everyone else have them too?
Because they're 10-year-olds.
Is that a thing 10-year-olds have?
I definitely had some sort of backpack
really?
Like that.
I mean, I did not, but I have also seen backpacks like that.
Huh. The closest thing I've seen recently is those, the ones that are leashes for little kids.
Yeah, no. Wow. Those are,
that is different.
But, I mean, they are the same. Like, it's an animal that's a backpack, and, like, the tail is a leash for the...
Yeah. I also can totally believe that if, like, one kid at that particular school got a backpack like that, I can believe it spread.
Hmm, that's true. Could be a fad.
Yeah.
Okay. We talked this at length before about the voice. About the voice. That was a terrible ghost. That wasn't even close to. Anyway. But like, what is up with even if assuming that the voice was a reference, we all understood. What is up with the owl? Like, what?
I don't know.
I guess it's kind of implied that it's like Sindoramon possessing it because it like the eyes stop glowing when Sindoramon is defeated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does Sindoramon talk on its own?
No, it just makes rooster noises.
Okay.
And maybe calls out its attack, but I don't think it talks ever.
See, that would make... If it calls out an attack, if it calls out its attack, that kind of muddles things. It's like, is there a level of language and like Digimon can naturally say their attack names but other things? And like,
I mean, I don't remember if it called out its attack, but it might have...
Okay, so it makes some sense that it's like an avatar that it uses because it can't speak itself. But the thing that it says don't really make sense for it to be saying because it like refers to itself as like a kind of cryptic puzzle.
Well, I mean, okay, so the voice reminded me first and foremost of Edamon. And he was all about the playing himself up stuff. And like, of course he'd want like a minion to tell him, like his minions did tell him how great he was all the time. And like, if Rooster Guy's, what's his name? Sindoramon?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have minions, like, why shouldn't he make his own?
That's a good point, but yeah, I also just hated the fact that it was like this like prophecy like thing, and it's like, but it was also like saw, like it was like a puzzle that was solved 5 seconds later, and it was really obvious too, and it was like Henry's like, oh wait, let me flash back like 5 times to figure out what's going on. And it's like,
well, it wasn't that obvious. I actually thought it was unobvious because how would these kids at this campsite know there was a blackout in town?
That's the only bad part of the storytelling, yeah. How did they find it out?
I don't think they found out until afterwards. Henry was just like, oh, lights. Yeah, we were talking about lights. I guess we were there talking about the same lights because the rooster was there. I mean, like, I understand why the flashbacks... series was necessary because there was no way they could have known that.
Yeah, it's a bad on all fronts. Sorry.
He who drinks of the light of man.
I'm saying it was bad on all fronts. I'm embarrassed by myself.
Stop.
Ridiculous dialogue draft, baby!
Ridiculous dialogue draft, where we each pick our top two funniest, most ridiculous, or most touching lines from the episode. This is a sports draft. It just is a sports draft. I'm just going to concede.
Finally, after like a year and a half of trying to explain to you how it made sense that it was a draft. Not that I've ever witnessed a sports draft.
Totes makes sense.
Except for our Pottage's Fantasy draft, which is the only draft that is important.
Which is actually much more like a sports draft. Much more like a sports draft.
Okay, so like, can we just like take all the quotes that Bird did?
No. None of them allowed.
Just, I want every clip of that David possessed bird. all right, now let me find a real quote. All right. So this is from episode 16, because this is the only episode that had anything worth saving.
Because it was so bad.
Great. So Takata's talking to Miss Hisaji. She's trying to fix his camera, except I don't think there's anything wrong with his camera. And he's trying to distract her while Gilmon gets on the bus. And when Gilmon gets on the bus, he sighs, because, like, phew. And Missy Saji's like,
"And what was that for, Takato?"
Takato was like,
"Oh, just like to keep breathing."
It's like, what? He's such a weird
kid. Way to cover it up.
And Missy Saji just, like, accepts this. And actually, that's really cute. I kind of like their dynamic.
Okay, I disagree. There are good quotes from other episodes. I will give you one. It is from episode 15.
All right.
It is when the dub tries to pretend that this man in the subway is not drunk.
Oh, yeah.
And he totally is. And the policeman says,
"Man, I can't believe you ate one of the sandwiches from the vending machines."
And the definitely not drunk dude says,
"I didn't think ham was supposed to be yellow, but I thought it might be gourmet."
And the police guy's like,
"That vending machine belongs in the Museum of Natural History."
I remember that. All right.
And I'm like, what?
That's I give you that.
What are you doing, Dub?
I remember that line. And my first thought upon hearing it was, should I write down? Second thought was no. My third thought was, Ashley's going to use it, and she's going to go one line more than is necessary for the punchline. And I was right.
You were right on all accounts.
Well, they weren't really... I almost said right on all accounts on the way, but the first two weren't things to be right about. They were just my reactions.
Well, you know what, Jeffrey? You get to pick whatever you want now. And I will judge you mercilessly.
Mercilessly? I will judge you back mercilessly.
I'm going to punch this microphone to the floor just to piss you off.
So my quote is from the end of after the fight with Sindiramon in episode 16. And I can see that I may have misheard something, but I kind of like to think I didn't. And so it's after the fight's over, Henry says,
"That fight was shocking."
And Takato just replies,
"Bad."
Yeah, I couldn't figure out what he said there, actually.
I'm pretty sure he was just like, "That was a bad pun, Henry." Which is totally out of character, and I feel like that doesn't really make sense for the dynamic, and like what Takato has said before.
That whole episode was completely out of character.
Yeah, like...
I'll go for whenever a character in universe points out that the pun was bad.
I do actually have something written down for 15, but I'm not picking it. So this is from 16 again, and it's from the beginning of the episode, and it's from right after Rika gives Renamon the energy drink, and Renamon's like,
"This stuff packs almost as much of a punch as I do, but the packaging isn't quite as nice."
I was like, yeah, nice, all right, you... That is an attitude we can take forward into our lives.
I like thinking about those packaging as well. Like what? That last episode when Andrew pointed out that we can all date skeletons. They just have flesh around them. We're all just the flesh packaging of skeletons.
Okie dokie.
Alrighty.
Was that not the angle you wanted to take it?
No, not particularly.
You know what? I'm going to pick something, again, not from episode 16, just to spite episode 16. This is when they all, like Takato gets to the tiger Digimon first, but then Rika and Henry show up, and I guess Takato was trying to egg on Gilmon to go, and then Henry says, "Don't go yet," and Takato was like,
"Kay, why not? What's up?"
"Not you."
"I meant up there."
"So did I. Be quiet."
You have to choose the one with as many lines as possible.
So, I'd like to piss you off.
It was like a who's on first gag, I suppose. Do you not know who's on first, Ashley?
No.
You don't even understand lineacy. Lineacy, that's not the word.
What?
Am I combining two words? I'm combining lineacy.
I don't know what you're saying.
He's combining legacy and lineage.
Lineage, what that's what I'm doing. I know I'm combining something with lineage, with legacy. Lineacy.
Okay.
I'll show you who's on first later. It's like a standard comedy gag where...
It's a classic, yeah.
I don't like classics.
I think the person who is on first is named Who, so it's like, who's on first?
Yes.
Who, yes. Who, no, who's on first? And yes.
Yes. It's Abbott and Costello, I believe.
And who is people are aside from the fact that there's this one gag. I have an honorable mention, which is not, I'm not just going to include as a real pick, but I'm going to mention later. But my pick is poignant, is funny, and also realistic. And it expresses something about the human condition.
Okay. That sounds fake. but okay.
Okay.
It's, I think it's when they've finished sneaking Gilmon onto the bus and like they're sitting on Gilmon or something, and Jerry's in front of Takato and like turns back and is like,
"You sure this was a good idea?"
And Takato replies,
"Well, most of them seem good at the planning stage."
Yeah. Takato's a good, honest kid.
You sound like a teacher giving a parent-teacher conference result.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be 26 in less than a week, so I'm feeling my age right now.
Those numbers don't sound high.
Compared to a 10-year-old?
Oh, okay, sure, I guess. I still feel like at that point you're the young, cool teacher, at least. Maybe.
I do teach 11-year-olds right now.
Ooh, I taught 11-year-olds too, but I was only 16.
Yeah. Yeah, see?
What's freaky is that I'm like, you know, now they are like 21 or 20.
That's we don't think about these things.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Jeffrey, are you going to pick a real quote?
No, that was my quote. Oh. No, my honorable mention I was going to mention afterwards, which is, did you hold back laughter because it wasn't that you thought that was a fake quote?
I have no idea.
I mean, laugh and I'll insert it in earlier.
No.
Ha 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 ha. Okay, so my honorable mention, I just wanted to talk about it, is that I guess it's when Renamon is like telling Rika to let me Digivolve or something to fight the snake, the snake Deva. And so Renamon's like, "Come on, Rika, it's time to charm the snake." And I was like, "That's a bad pun. But the thesis that I wrote for my senior thesis at college was about the Python programming language, and I used that same pun. It was titled "Charming Python with Static Typing." So
you can't judge.
I think it worked well. I think it worked better as a thesis title than as this line in a children's cartoon, but who knows?
Okay, wait. Can I switch mine, actually, to a different episode 14 quote?
Can you be more difficult, please?
Yes. I'm going to pick the quote. It is from when Graumon and Takato enter their weird space that doesn't actually exist.
Tamer, it's not over yet.
Hey, Graumon, you're alive! Oh, wait, you don't even recognize me, do you?
Of course. Just seemed like such a serious moment.
That was really funny, actually.
I was like, "You're terrible, Graumon."
I was like confused. I think I rewound or something to... I forget why I was around, but I didn't get that joke the first time. And I was like, why does Takato think that Graumon's forgotten him? He's just being silly and paranoid. Then I got it the second time.
Terminal judgment.
It wasn't. I tried putting exclamation points. It doesn't really help. It can't really train Robotmon to say it dramatically. So, episode 14, The Wonderful Thing About Tiggers. What did I give it? I gave it a 3 out of 5 stars.
3.5.
Yeah, I'll be in that ballpark. 3.5.
About that ballpark.
You have to choose one.
Do I have to? I will give it a 3.
Okay. I think we should start saying a tiny bit to explain our numbers instead of just being 14, 33, 3.5.
Because the pacing 15. Was stupid.
Yeah. My complaint was I was like, oh, it's an interesting episode with interesting ideas with very inconsistent script and hyped up. We are totally evil. Yeah.
Yeah. Just think, this is the best episode.
I don't think so.
No?
Nope.
Well, you're wrong.
So.
In this arc.
Oh, yeah, that is what I was referring to. So the next episode, episode 15.
Snakes on a Train.
I thought it was pretty bland. 3 stars.
2.5.
Actually, reason.
Guillaume drilled down into a subway and it really pissed me off.
Asher?
I will also give this one a 3 because, I mean, it was all over the place, but some nice things happened that I appreciated. But, like, it was just so, like, not, it was so incoherent that it almost wasn't worth it.
Also, Ashley, I just realized that, like, I told you that I said that 14 was not the best. I had written down, I didn't mention it, I don't think, on air, but I had written down 14 as my favorite, but I didn't actually rate it the highest. So that's kind of weird. So on to the last one, episode 16, and let's see Robomon try to say this.
Cinderamon's Electroshocker.
Oh, that's actually pretty good. Okay. Yeah. Congrats, Robomon. I thought this episode was not quality, but had a lot of cute shots and scenes, and Mun had a moment of happiness, so 3.5 stars.
What? Oh my goodness, 1.5 stars.
Yeah, I'm closer to that. I would give this one a 2.
Oh, wow. That's the first time, I think it's the first time we've...
Well, this is because I don't care about Imp Mon at this point.
This is because everything about this episode was terrible.
Yeah.
Actually, it has your favorite character.
Not being at his best self.
Wait, I mean the owl.
Oh, the owl. Oh, well, yeah, he's quality.
I was like, what do you...
He's the only thing that redeemed this
episode.
I was like,
episode. What do you care about the owl's personality, actually? Like, what? he wasn't his best owl self. I feel like people are going to do... People are going to hate my... They're going to, like, really love my terrible owl voice and be like, every time he says it, I laugh. Or they're going to be like, it's the worst thing ever. Oh, my God, I unsubscribe.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. Probably. Well, don't we have to give it the ARCA rating?
Oh, you're right. We need to give it a rating.
2.5.
I wasn't ready. I didn't have a number yet. I give it...
Too bad. You're bullied.
So, I mean, okay. We have to come to the consensus. But pre-consensus, my idea would have been 3.
Well, you're wrong. 2.5.
I'll let myself be way down to 2.5.
Okay, good.
Consensus.
Consensus complete.
Thank you, Robotmon.
Plug it in.
Yes, we are going to plug things. That is what we do now.
What are you plugging, Jeffrey?
So I'm plugging something that I've been rereading recently that I originally read. I can't remember if I originally read it, but I initially saw it on TV, and it's Shaman King. I saw it. I think it must have aired like a year or two after Digimon was on Fox, right? I think it like in the wake after Digimon left Fox, Shaman King and a couple of shows started on there. But anyway, I've been rereading the manga. And I really like it, especially the beginning. I'm only like 9 volumes in, but I really like it. But I should mention that I work for the publisher. So I do have a monetary stake, I suppose, that maybe you should take as a grain of salt because I indirectly benefit from sales of it. So yeah, I don't know how to navigate these things, but I think it's a good series. I really like, there are a lot of characters that like, stuck with me more than I really remembered, and revisiting them, and also I really like the theme of, instead of seeing people who oppose you as evil and bad and just wiping them out and being rid of them, but learning to respect them and appreciate them and become friends with them, I really appreciate. So, and I don't know how much that persists through the entire series, but at least in the first third of it is pretty strong. So that's my pick.
I've been watching JoJo's Bizarre Adventures. And like, yeah, I realize I'm like 30 years late to this.
Wait, so this is, isn't it? I think it's singular.
Yeah, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
But there are multiple of them.
There are multiple adventures, yes.
Yes.
there are also multiple JoJo's.
So which one, what have you been watching? Which series?
I just finished the first part of Stardust Crusaders. So I watched Phantom Blood, whatever the crap Joseph's is called, Battle Tendency, which was good. Yeah, and like it's good. It's sort of harder to get through Phantom Blood, which is the first part, but you kind of need to understand anything that's happening after Phantom Blood happens.
Because I've seen just Stardust Crusaders, and it wasn't like... There was some stuff that's like, okay, you understand this is a person from that series, but it didn't seem like difficult to...
Yeah, it's not difficult to understand, but you don't get like the emotional investment or payoff of those references. So like, yeah, I'm trying to like if you like shonen anime, you will probably like JoJo's. It's very, very shonen.
It's, I don't know, it's not like, it's a weird, it's also old school.
If you like muscles, you will like JoJo's, which is, that's not my favorite part of the show.
Oh yes, it's like extreme muscles and...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan. I've only seen Stardust Crusaders and it was enjoyable. I don't know, yeah. I enjoyed it, but I wasn't like, oh my god, this is amazing. But I've heard really good things about, I can't remember which of the two, one of the first two.
Battle Tendency was good.
The second one?
Yeah. The first one, like, I don't know. I wasn't very into the first one.
Well, I know that, so there was a recent announcement that the fourth one is being turned into anime.
Yes.
And that I've seen fans of the manga say, fourth one's the best one. But I also heard that's what they said when the third one was announced that the series was starting. They're like, third one's the best one.
Yeah, so, I've heard that the second one is the best one.
So I don't think there's any consensus. And I think when each one's announced, that part of the fandom's like, yay, that one.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm liking Stardust Crusader. But like, I grew up on Yu Yu Hakusho, so like, you know, that's where I come from. It's not as silly as I thought it was going to be. I was expecting much more shenanigans.
My favorite aspect of the show is kind of, it's a weird thing to like consider a favorite, but like what struck me the most is like the very like visceral sound effects. Does that make sense? It's like everything is like every action and like, it's like they translated the, what's it called? The onomatopoeias in comic books to like perfect. It's like everything sounds and like, I mean, there are lots of iconic weird things like, Kakyoin twirling the like cherry on his tongue.
Oh God, that was really weird.
And a lot of the like the things that they like they directly use the onomatopoeias and it sounds really weird and I'm like, you're not used to seeing them, you know, just like somebody like, I think that's one, that one's like pedo or something like that. They're not really like common vocabulary in anime, so it's a little weird, but it's like very faithful to the comic book. So
it's the vibe I'm getting from it.
Yeah, it's cool.
I'm gonna plug Haikyuu, even though it kind of pains me because Jeffrey will rub it in and be like, I told you so.
Yes, so for historical context, Ashley for like years has been like, Jeff, watch Kuroko's basketball. Jeff, watch Kuroko. Jeff, watch Kuroko. Jeff, watch Kuroko.
Jeff, you still watch Kuroko.
I am going to. Anyway, and then I, in the past, like, I don't know, maybe like 2 years ago or so, I started watching, like, keeping up with the anime season on Crunchyroll, like, more, I don't know, like, actually, like, seeing what, like, people recommended and watching a couple of shows. Like, in the past, I'd watched, like, one, maybe. And, yeah, and so, like, Haikyuu, I started watching because people recommended, and I really, really liked the beginning. And so I was like, Ashley, you should watch it. And she's like, no, watch Kuroko. So that's the stage now. Now, eat your words, Ashley.
No, I watched Haikyuu as it came out as well. Right. You never started watching Kuroko until very recently.
So, okay.
This doesn't... I also watched Kuroko at the same time.
I know. I wasn't claiming you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that, setting the stage, like, you insisted I watch Kuroko instead of this, and now you recommend this.
Yes, because there's no more Kuroko to recommend. Anyway, I was not about the first few episodes as Jeffrey was.
Oh, wrong.
I like my sports anime for when they play sports. However, the second this, whatever is recently airing, hits more emotional moments, and I'm like, oh no, oh no, don't do that, don't fight, no!
See, I'm laughing at Ashley for like getting caught up by that emotional moment, which I was like enjoyed, but wasn't like, you know, like.
No, I was the poster also.
Oh, right. So I'm setting up to say that I'm laughing at her for that moment, but like there was a moment in the episode before that, or maybe one before that. Anyway, that like I was watching it like at work on my lunch break, and I like almost teared up at work, which is not something I do.
Sports anime, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we have different tastes in sports, because like I love Haikyuu for the non-match elements, and every time they're not in matches, and I feel like it, I get really bored with it whenever they're actually in matches. But
I have the opposite. Yeah. Like the only reason to watch Kuroko is that you love ridiculous basketball.
Because like Haikyuu is really good about like. And it was really just a tournament, I guess. Like, when they're in, like, matches that are, like, standalone things, it's, like, I feel like they represent more of a, like, character arcs. But when they're in the tournament, it's, like, okay, well, they have to get through, like, three or four different matches, and it's, like, oh, they all blur together. And I feel like Kuroko, instead, just, like, has matches that go on for forever, which maybe helps them from blurring together.
But see, the premise of Kuroko, like, Kuroko starts at a completely different place than Haikyuu. Haikyuu starts from a place of, we're going to follow this player who doesn't even know the fundamentals of volleyball. Kuroko starts from a place of, we're going to follow a bunch of people who have broken the physics of basketball and watch them further break the physics of basketball against each other.
So, I mean, they had different strengths because of that. Kuroko is more of a spectacle, whereas Haikyuu is a more character emotional journey.
Yes. But I think the volleyball can also be exciting.
I thought when you were saying the volleyball, you meant like you were literally translating the title Haikyuu. Like, the volleyball is a good series you should check out.
That too. Yeah.
I should also mention that all three things you recommended are actually licensed by the company I work for.
Well, I'm not, like,
is that public though?
Yes. I mean, so Haikyuu has not come out. The manga for Haikyuu has not come out yet, but it's coming out next year. It has been announced that it's coming.
Okay. Well, you know what? Don't support Jeffrey in any way.
I mean, we do not have the rights to any of the anime. So if you want to not support me, just watch the anime. But
yeah, just go watch the anime. That's what I wanted you to do anyway.
My recommendation in particular was specifically for the manga, because I remember really liking the Shaman King anime, but there's no, I don't think, any way to obtain it legally right now that I know of, especially like streaming services. So, but you can get manga legally by buying it easily. Let us know what you thought about this episode in our comments at podigy.com/304. We also have detailed notes on the site about all the characters, images, and references we make, so check those out if you're curious about anything we mentioned. In addition to those general comments, there are lots of other ways you can be included in next week's feedback episode.
Leave us a voicemail answering our question of the week. This week's question is, what would be the first food, drink, or gift that you'd give your Digimon partner? You can either call 913-KALUMON or send an audio recording to podigious@gmail.com and keep them under 90 seconds to be included on air.
If you don't feel comfortable sharing your voice, write out your response, and I'll read it on air.
Leave a review in iTunes, and we'll read it on air. Rate the episodes we covered and vote on your RDD picks at podigious.com/304.
Share the answer questions and RDD picks you would have chosen for these episodes on our forum at forum.podigious.com. For all feedback, if you prefer to remain private, just mention that you don't want your name read on air, and also Tumblr asks are an easy way to send feedback anonymously.
Podigious is made possible with the support from our awesome Patreon, Kailani, Sam Krieger, David Gao, Joe, Jack Saint, Andre Lelouch.
If you want to become a Patreon and support the show, you can join Patreon Party, our private Slack chat group, for $1 a month. You can get monthly stickers for $5 a month, and you can get early episodes for $10 a month. We also have a lot more rewards and goals, so check out patreon.com/podigious.
Follow Podigious on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook to keep up with news and get extra images, GIFs, and other fun stuff related to the show. That's GIF, because our loyal Patreon have voted strongly in favor of the hard G. You can find me on Twitter at JeffOnlyJeff. Ashley, where can they find you?
AshBickD00 on Twitter.
And Asher?
AsherDashery at Tumblr.
You can also find links to all of our social media accounts at podigious.com.
Our Calamon artwork is by the awesome Mary Cagle. Check out her webcomics, Let's Speak English, and Kiwi Blitz, and she's also Cube Watermelon on Tumblr and Twitter, where she posts lots of other cool drawings and fan art pieces.
Share the podcast with your friends who like Digimon Tamers, and if your friends don't like Tamers, it's probably because they saw this arc.
Next time on Podigious, we'll be watching episodes 17 through 20, where Imban gets fed up with a horse. Bye.
Bye.
And remember, never stop digivolving.
I'm not bringing my A game to these episodes.
I don't think any of us are, to be honest. We should probably be honest about that.
These episodes don't deserve anybody's A game.
Right. The A game is not...
Yeah.
It would be overkill for...
Well, no, you're right.
They deserve maybe a solid B minus.
I mean, this is a good... I wanted to, like, get off some of this from my chest. And this can be good to, like, put in the outro segment. But, like, I mean, this really... If everything could play out ideally, I think I would want to have done this Deva's arc in I forget, split up with fewer episodes. Like, we're doing three episodes for the Tokyo's and Deva. Tokyo's mm-hmm. in Dave. No, what am I saying? Deva's in Tokyo.
Tokyo's in Deva.
I said that like three times before realizing what I was saying. And so that means that like we're going to be doing three episodes, then four episodes, and four episodes. And mm-hmm. I went into when I made that distinct that division, I was kind of like I remembered the Tokyo Deva's as being like the strongest part of the season, and apparently that is not the case.
It's so not at all.
And yeah, so I feel like I don't know, like these episodes would be like in a perfect world best served as one like what we did for some season two episode stuff where like. You know, covering five or six episodes at a time.
I would not have been able to do that at this point in my life.
Right. And, like, November especially for me and Ashley is busy and stuff, so.
Like, you're busy, I've got a paper due on Wednesday.
I had a crazy week at work.
Yeah, gotta start thinking about finals.
But, yeah. So. And I mean, it's not all bad. I mean, people, common feedback and requests we heard was to have shorter episodes. So, you know, splitting these out into more podcasts means shorter episodes than if we did them all in one go.
Least you could hope.
Yes, at least we can hope.
Your password. You can use mine to get on the internet.
Our digits. We're recording a podcast. It is about the worst episodes of Tamers ever.
I'm not sure you can say that when we haven't gone through the whole thing.
Oh yeah, no, that was I was like, I need to think of a word in like half a second. What word? Yeah. I should be scrolled to the right part of my Google Doc whenever I do that, and I never am. Let me.
Your password.
I wish I could like skip ahead to the middle of the thing, but I can't. We're recording a podcast. These episodes weren't so great, even though I thought they would be. Welcome to Podigest, episode 304, Enter the Matrix.
Yes, I'm doing this.
All right.
Okay.
Wait.
I hadn't thought about this part of the show.
You don't have an intro for yourself?
Hold on,
we just wing it, Jeff. We just wing it.
But every time I've winged it, I've just said Bullseye Baby, and then everyone groans.
Yeah, that's bad. You should think of something. Yeah. I'll explain. Andrew is sick/working. He was sick.
He is sick. He's sick, and a lot's going on in his life at the moment.
In episode 16, Back to Nature, Back to Battle, a.k.a. Sindurimon's Electroshocker, Takato and Henry go on a camping trip, and I really don't know how to pronounce his name.
Kaepora, Gaibora.
Kaepora, Gaibora? No. Kaepora, Gaibora?
What language does it come from?
I don't even know. Kaepora, Gaiborao? Wait, is it really? I think I might have misspelled.
I don't even... What's the reference?
Yeah, I don't know what this is.
Wow, you guys are boring. It's from Zelda. It's the owl in Zelda.
Oh, then I'm assuming it's Kaepora Gaiborao, because that is a Japanese game, and you pronounce every single letter.
Yeah.
So, I misspelled, though.
Oh, well, that's your problem.
Yeah, I should look up what it is. Oh, wait, apparently, it is I don't know how to read these pronunciation guides. Kaepora Gaibora, which I guess if it's just Japanese, yeah, it would be Kaepora Gaibora. Okay. So there's one more commercial that is, like, the next one that's going to play is for, like, a Halloween. It's, like, a general Halloween commercial. So it's not directly Digimon, but it has Digimon scenes and references, I think.
Monsters are morning, you shall see, because Fox Kids Monster Hunt Saturday is where you'll be. To close the blinds, turn out the lights, pretend it's night.
Oh, that's Moncoli Knight.
Moncoli Knights when they host all morning long. Next Saturday, starting at 8 Eastern, 7 Central and Pacific, Fox Kids has scary monsters in its sights.
All right.
Yeah, the main reason I thought Ash would like that is because Moncoli Knights. I think when we talked about Moncoli Knights before, like, I hadn't seen any of these commercials. Like, I had no idea what you and Andrew were talking about. But now I'm like, I totally remember that being on and not watching it.
Yeah, that looked familiar as a thing that I didn't watch.
It was probably for the best.
Let it go.
What was it?
What? Pixel's trying to eat my headphones.
Oh, my God. Move Pixel away.
But he's...
He's so adorable.
So adorable. And he really wants to sit in my lap.
I like brainstormed recap stuff while I was in the shower, so I wasn't able to like write things down right away. And I just remembered one that I totally forgot to write down, which was like Guillemon Digivolve and Graumon Digivolves to Metal Greymon or War Greymon or War Graumon, but too late.
It's okay. That's obvious, Jeffrey.
Oh, I'm sorry. My joke's too obvious for you.
Yes.
I know Marcus is in high school.
Yeah, he's the only one I know for sure. I thought Thomas was the same age.
He might be. He might just be a genius. I don't know.
He's a genius. He's like 5 years old. He's 14, apparently.
What?
I mean, like, they're drawn to be like, that's the thing, like, people have seen, like, the artwork we're trying, like, oh, the kids are grown up. I'm like, yeah, they're grown up to ninth grade. Like,
yeah, yeah. Thomas is 14?
So Marcus is also 19, or 14, which isn't even high school age. I mean,
yes, it is. Well, it depends. Not in Japan, no.
Well, I mean, yeah, so it's definitely high school age in the U.S.
Yeah.
But to me, age 14 recalls, or I associate that in America with grade 9, which would not be high school in Japan. But he could be in year 10, which would be high school maybe as a 14-year-old, right? That's possible.
No.
It's not possible?
I mean, it's possible if you skip a grade.
I guess I was on the young side of the year.
Yes, you were on the young side.
And I was 14 throughout all of ninth grade. So to be 14 in 10th grade would mean you'd have to be like very, very, like on the young side plus a year. So.
Yeah.
Okay. So like that really confuses my conception. I always thought of this as like the year they were in high school, but I guess they're in junior high school.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Bizarre.
If they're 14, why do they look the same age as Yoshino?
Anyway, how old is Yoshino? I need to...
She's 19!
Oh, God, really?
I swear to God.
Oh, 18, apparently.
Okay, wow, big difference.
At least that could be high school. But I don't think she's supposed to be. I think she's supposed to be a working adult. Yeah, I started down the story and I was like, I don't actually have examples of this feeling I have or anything, so...
Gotta go back and watch some children's media.
I am so tempted to start a Cyber Chase podcast, a Liberty's Kids podcast, a Magic School Bus podcast.
I mean, yeah, I feel like there are plenty of examples that also uphold your thing. Like, what adults are there in Cyber Chase? None.
Do they ever, like, show their families? I'm so curious. I want to hear about the lore of Cyber Chase. I want to dive into this lore.
I don't even know what Cyber Chase is, but Magic School Bus sounds great.
What?
Leave.
Wait, no, don't leave. No, no.
I don't know what it is.
Teaches you math. God.
This thing's not longer than I thought it was.
I don't know why you think this is enlightening me in any way.
I thought this was like a trigger memories. It's supposed to be like, it sounds cool.
No.
No.
Cyber Chase is a program for PBS. So it's like teach kids math. Or teach kids that math is cool.
I mean, I gathered that from context from you guys.
Really?
Like just now, you were like, it teaches you math. I'm like, all right.
Oh, did we say that? I didn't hear that.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I don't hear Ashley because she's just annoying ringing in my ear.
I often watched it and was like, but can you make like a middle school version that would help me with my math? Like,
I watched it because there was, not having cable growing up, there was nothing else on TV at certain times of day. Oh yeah, I mean, it's the same reason, but like, I was like, this math is like ridiculous and like, duh.
I had the opposite reaction where I was like, no, teach me harder things.
But I mean, one of the voices, I mean, like, it has pretty prominent voices for some of the characters. The other ones are just like people who haven't done any other work. But like there's a bird who's voiced by Gilbert Gottfried, and like Iago's voice in Aladdin. And Hack, like the main villain, is voiced by Christopher Lloyd. So I mean, if we started a Cyber Chase podcast, we could maybe get those famous people on the podcast. And that is the only reason to do a podcast.
Jeff's golden life.
I mean, I honestly, the biggest hurdle to starting about, I'm like, this seems like a silly thing to do as a podcast, unless, like, I could see adults doing it as a, like, you know, discussing how their kids react to it and, like, you know, discussing it from the perspective of an adult who has kids who are watching it. But that feels too extreme to do as adults without kids.
See, that's why I'm way more interested in a Liberty's Kids podcast, because then you can just at least analyze the history, like historical accuracy, the way that they portray American history. Like, there are things that you can do without, like, needing a child.
Wait, so Ashley, you not know what a Liberty's Kids is either?
Yeah, no, I never watched. I know what it is because I've heard Ashley talk about it, but I never saw it.
This is the things we watched when we didn't have cable. Yeah. And now we have cable, we don't watch it, so.
Exactly. How the world is changed.
That's bring it back to being an adult.
Okay, so I believe...
I can fly.
Somebody... What?
Nothing.
I don't believe that I can fly.
But I believe it can take you like 20 minutes to figure out what I said and then piece together the joke.
It did take me that.
If you had said nothing, Jeff, we wouldn't have had that interruption. You would, be less hungry.
Well, Ashley can't talk now, so...
Whose fault is that?
Pixel, stop trying to eat my head. I'm having a very Escaflowne-esque moment here. In that, like, Vaughn learns to feel Escaflowne's pain right. Even when he's...
I mean...
Not in it.
Yeah, I mean, the finale of Tamers is all about... the D-Reaper actually just wants to grant everyone's wish, and that's why everything goes wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's totally how it goes down. Yamaki, actually, did you realize that, like, Yamaki, the last letter of his name, you know what the last letter of Yamaki is?
I.
Yeah, think about that some more. Think about that some more. Can you guess who it is?
Is he Isaac Newton?
Yes! Okay, sorry. So in high school, when Ashley and I were watching Escaflowne, like, five episodes in or something, like, they show Isaac Newton or whatever, like, I don't know. They don't show his face or something. They say his name is Isaac, and he's the evil person. And Ashley's like, "Do you get who it is yet? It's Isaac." And I'm like, "What? I thought it was like biblical Isaac, like Abraham and Isaac or something."
Yeah, I know who you mean.
Yeah, because he's like old, right? So I was like, "Okay, you know, he's really, really old." But Ashley genuinely expected me to guess it was Isaac Newton, and I guess in retrospect, they talk about gravity in like the first episode. So I mean, maybe I should have been able to guess it, but
no. From what I remember of that show, there was no real way to guess that.
I mean, like, Ashley told me it was a historical figure, so, like, but there's no seating in the show itself to guess it's a historical figure.
Yeah, no, Ashley didn't tell me anything, and I did not guess it.
Got it memorized?
Whatever, Escaflowne is the best.
This seems like it's a, the name has too much flavor to, like, I mean, I'm trying to think, like, the names I kind of think of as being invented by D-Reaper tropes are more just like, oh, there's one that's like evil redhead. And like, that's not a trope.
That's not a trope.
That's just two adjectives.
You don't think there are statistically more evil redheads than like evil other things? Because I think that may be a trope.
I mean, it definitely is a TV tropes listing, but I think it's just kind of like, I don't know, like, how much...
Like, sexy evil redhead, I feel like, comes up pretty often.
Yeah, I guess there is a longer discussion to be had about, like, what makes a trope or not. Mm. And for some reason, sexy redhead seems more legitimate to me because it's like, there's kind of like a lot of things evoked by, like, you can have a redheaded character who is vaguely sexy, who like conjures all those other connotations of other pieces of work, whatever. Whereas like evil redhead, like having Light be redheaded, like doesn't really, in Death Note, doesn't really like...
Light's redhead? No, he's not.
Yeah, what?
When he, I didn't realize this in the recent, but when he like, the more evil he gets, the more redhead he gets in like stylized sequences.
Really?
Like they make L's hair bluer, they make Light's hair redder.
I mean, that's not just his hair, though. Like, the whole lighting goes right. Red. I think that's something else.
That was probably a particularly bad example, because that is definitely going a, like, that's definitely using red to mean evil, and, like, it's tying into, like, the apple and everything. So, like, it's definitely using red to mean evil in that sense. So, like, okay, that is more legitimate as a tying red to evil. But, like, there are a lot of these are just, like, Jesse being redheaded is not, in Pokemon, as, like, Jesse and James, like, Jesse being redheaded is not, like, maybe they're kind of going for, like, the sexiness angle, vaguely, which is kind of weird. But, like, they're definitely not going for, like, that redheadedness makes her evil. I don't know. I mean, a lot of these are just, like...
Jeffrey, you're not disproving it's not a trope by...
Yeah.
Like, you need to look at the examples that are considered the trope and be like, no, that's not valid.
I'm saying, like no, I'm like, in the list, Jesse is... listed, like, Jesse is listed as a trope example.
I think that TV Tropes is not that good at listing actual tropes.
Well, anyway, on a long tangent. Yes, so in mine is a wooby. It seems like how kids actually act when they think they're too cool for something but actually want to be involved in it. And I don't have direct experience with that because I was not too cool for anything. I was not too cool for people. But I'm thinking, like, I definitely had that experience with when Lost was becoming popular. And I was like, this show is stupid. I've never watched it, but it's stupid. And...
too cool for Lost.
Yeah, and knowing me, Ashley, you know that I hated Lost up until the end.
So much.
I guess after like a year, after 2 years of being on, I watched it and I was like, this is really good. I love it. It's the best show ever. And also with Apple products, I hated Apple products. So I thought of people who liked Apple products were silly and stupid. And yeah.
I mean, there are people who like Apple products a little too much.
Yeah, I agree. Like, there are tech. It invokes a certain level of fan. I want to say, like, the, like, noun, like, the fanboyhood without making it gendered. And I can't think of a word.
Fandomy.
like fan servitude is kind of what it is. Because, like, they're kind of, like, it's not just that, like, people are fans of it. It's that, like, they have allegiances. And it's, like, becomes a, like, and you never try anything that's not Apple. And you decry everything that's not Apple as being bad. And everything that's Apple is, you defend it if it's not that good. And, you know, if you're too critical of things, then, like, it might be kind of called out as, like, why don't you like it? Why is nothing good enough for you? And things like that. Anyway, those are aspects that those were not even in my mind at the time. It was, like, when I was in college and, like, I felt like oppressed because, not oppressed, but, you know, like everyone at college had, not everyone, but like, you know, class lectures would be 90% Apple laptops. And I'd be like, I'm the only one with a Dell. And yeah, that's also something I only really experienced at like affluent colleges, I assume. But anyway.
Yes. That's only something that you experience as somebody who is not affluent at an affluent college.
That's true. But I mean, I feel silly being like saying that I wasn't affluent because like Yeah, I did not grow up with money, but then I became an engineer and then I went to work at Apple. So, like, yeah, I can't really.
But you weren't affluent then.
That's true. But I guess I also feel bad because I wasn't like so, like, I wasn't poor. Like, I didn't have to, like, I never had to worry about food or anything like that, that a lot of people did. So, anyway, moving on from sad topics like poverty. Also, Ashley, I want to enforce a limit on you where you can only use quotes that have like one back and forth. Like, it only has two people talking. You can't ever have three lines.
This one was only two people talking. No, I mean,
like, they can only bounce back and forth once. They can only, like, A, then B. Not A, then B, then A.
This joke doesn't work without... No,
so just don't pick those. It's a limit.
No, I can pick whatever the hell I want.
I am restricting you.
You cannot dictate the rules.
I am taming you, Ashley.
No, you are not. I will throw your phone off the balcony.
Why are you threatening that recently?
I think it's a pretty good threat.
I'm so confused by not having the soundboard before. There are all these things that are scattered and not in the right places. So let me delay by saying...
I in a box!
The best.
I think I just distract Ashley by just playing random quotes. That wasn't even your pick, Ashley. That was my pick.
I know, but it's so good.
You're kind of funny.